Previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
Whether we realize it or not, we're deep in the throes of stress, trauma and anxiety. And while we're all handling it differently, COVID has sent a great number of people tumbling into deep depression. On the line to talk us through the emotions is regular psychometrist on the show, Justin August, who I'm told is now Dr. Justin August. Dr. August, congratulations and thank you for joining us once again.
Thanks much to the team. Good morning, everybody.
Dr. August, I was just reading the other day on the Bloomberg Business site about a spike in suicide among cruise liner crew members, many being separated from families, confined to tiny cabin spaces and isolated from the rest of the world. All compounding factors when it comes to anxiety and trauma. But for those of us on land, the regular Joes, what are you seeing as triggers of mental distress at this time?
Yeah, let me start off by saying that, the whole COVID period that we actually made us realize more and more the importance of mental health, because it definitely increased our risks of, suffering with mental health challenges. So when it comes to suicide, and I think there was a report in the newspaper about 2 weeks ago as well about where the police highlighted the increase in suicide rates amongst a particular age group as well. Quite interesting. So suicide is very complex, but definitely if you look at COVID, so COVID makes us more vulnerable to mental health challenges. So all the stresses that we're currently facing might increase our risk of committing suicide eventually. Normally, there is a history of depression or some mental health challenges that most people have that commit suicide, but sometimes there's like a very quick onset of issues and stresses that will then eventually lead to suicide. But definitely, COVID in itself, with all its stress, with all its stresses there, that is part of the makeup of the COVID pandemic, really increase our risk of increased suicide rates amongst our population.
Doctor, good morning. It's Wayne here. Just to add to, the suicide, I work in an industry where we deal with emergencies, and one of those emergencies is medical. And of course, December is a period known where suicides do increase for many reasons. But we had noticed that during November and December, we had seen the highest of suicide rates in Nelson Mandela Bay particularly. And to add to that as well, reading an article the other day was a gentleman who was talking about how he lost three friends to suicide. And of the two, neither of them had suffered from any depression whatsoever. It was purely out of frustration of a job and having no relief at all. How can we see the, how do we tell or see the signs?
Yeah, look, so there's something that now, a term that's quite popular now that came up now with this COVID pandemic in particular, which is called COVID fatigue or COVID burnout. So this is where people actually reach their capacity to cope with experiences that COVID brought along. So there's these various stresses that we experience, from isolation to the social distancing issues, actual fears of contracting the COVID virus, but also grief and death of family and loved ones, as well as our financial stress, financial issues due to job losses, etc. So all of these factors will contribute to an increased risk of, people committing suicide or even attempting to commit suicide. But definitely we need to look out and we need to constantly have check-ins with our family and our loved ones, especially younger ones and the kids and youngsters. So there will be various signs where the person is not behaving or acting the same way they were prior to a particular event or prior to COVID. So sometimes there's a withdrawal from social situations, from social gatherings, but now there's no social gatherings, but just in terms of the home environment where the person is present but not really present. So there's mood issues, maybe highly agitated or very low energy. So we really need to, a very important tip and key in part, as part of the coping strategy is to really have those constant check-ins and just normal conversations to check, how are you doing? Are you still fine? Tell me about your day. Tell me if there's anything that's bothering you. So we really need to have constant check-ins. So that's just one of the coping strategies that we can put in place. But it's sometimes very difficult to pinpoint when somebody's going to eventually commit suicide. Like I said, you get the two types, so the one that will have a history of psychological issues or mental health challenges, and then there's the sudden onset, and that can be like the one case that you just explained, where what's happening currently is becoming too much. And we use this old analogy of a branch where there's too much pressure on this particular branch, so things are just piling up without letting go. And the letting go part is that talking about these issues and talking about these feelings, and eventually that branch crack. So we really need to look out for these signs and symptoms and really keep an open eye for our loved ones in terms of making sure that they're okay and do the regular check-ins, especially with the kids and youngsters.
Doctor, another sector that we need to keep our eye on are educational institutes, schools in particular. And with the reopening of schools, many learners would have lost a parent during the holidays and would need special attention, even staff members for that matter. That said, how can we safeguard ourselves and our children more so from potential mental health issues?
You know, it's a very tough and a challenging one. And if you look at our makeup, our geographical makeup and our socioeconomic makeup in Eastern Cape in particular, but in South Africa, so everybody will experience, COVID and trauma related to that fairly differently. And if we have to group it according to classes, there was an article that was published in News 24 that I was part of, where we spoke about how people actually react. So there will be different reactions and then obviously different coping strategies, how we can combat this. So going back, it's really going to be a challenge for kids, for learners to go back into the normal routine of things. So parents really need to prepare and ease the learners into particular routines. But as I said, the same way with our adults, we need to have these talks. So talking is very important with younger ones, trying to explain things very simply and straightforward, on their level, about feelings, emotions, etc., so that there is a constant dialogue that's happening in the home context as well, taking them through the day, trying to create some structure, because COVID brought about a lot of chaos. And robbers have a lot of experiences, so we really need to reintroduce, we really need to recheck and make sure that, especially with youngsters and younger kids, that we have a constant open dialogue. And the people that are currently, because kids are homeschooling, they are struggling to keep them occupied. And lots of people will throw this, and this relates back to some of our talks in 2019 about social media and gamification, all those types of things, where people just try and occupy the kids from that point of view. But that's not going to help, because we need to attend to the emotional side as well. So a simple tip is just to talk and ask and keep that communication open, especially with the school-going age group.
Dr. August, you speak about talking. We could certainly talk all morning. Collectively, we have a lot to work through. We will check in with you again, though, to reiterate those coping strategies and how to deal with increased levels of stress. Thank you for taking time out of what must be a really busy period for you. And we wish you all the best with your work.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.